Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Good morning. Welcome in to the Captain J Hood Show on ESPN 1000. Jake Cantu sitting in the EP chair. Jay Moore's at the controls. Hoodie's on vacation. Courtney Cronin is to my right. I'm David Kaplan. Courtney, the Chicago Bears dominate the news cycle. We've got the draft April the 27th. As of today, are you pleased with what they've done in free agency, or is it leaving you wanting more?
There's a lot of work to be done with this roster, which we knew. So when I am looking at this through an objective lens, I knew that free agency was not going to be the spend fest that everyone thought it might be, because you look at how much resources they have across the draft, across free agency. And granted, it's March 24th right now. We're still a month out and some change from actually getting to the NFL draft, where they have their 10 picks and all of the draft capital that they have between 1 and 64 that they helped their case with. And on, I believe it was March 8th when they traded the number one overall pick to Carolina. They handled a couple needs. There are a lot more that need to be filled on this roster. So am I satisfied with it? As somebody who covers the team, when you think, did they check the boxes of what they needed to do? Yes and no. They chose to go certain routes looking at value and positional value and financial value. And that's where we're at right now, where you have your linebacking core is set. Like, they don't need to touch that thing. They've got everything from their starters to their depth. They signed Dylan Cole yesterday. That's a special teamer who can fill, you know, the backup linebacker role. So if they sign another linebacker, I think my hair is going to fall out, because I'm tired of writing about linebackers at this point.
So if they said, with the 9th pick, the Chicago Bears select Nolan Smith, linebacker, Georgia.
I think that
you seen that guy's
yes,
numbers?
Yes, but I don't. I mean, can he rush the passer? Because you're going to have people rioting if he can't. But is he somebody that can do it on a consistent basis in this defense? Could he transition to be playing the edge rusher spot? If that's the case, okay. But I think right now you look at where the holes remain, and where Ryan Poles was very active in the first wave of free agency, mm-hmm. those first couple days before the league year actually opened, he checked boxes that he felt he needed to shore up a big part of the reason they were one of the worst run defenses, and overall in terms of scoring defense, why they were so bad. Big chunk plays that were allowed, and you didn't have anybody playing the off-ball linebacker position who could actually make those plays last year. You didn't see it enough with Roquan Smith, and you needed an upgrade from where you were with Nick Morrow. I understand all of that. I still am in the camp of, where is the pass rush coming from? Who's going to help the linebackers? Who's going to keep guys from getting to the second level and help these linebackers do their job at a high level? That's where the Bears need to turn their attention to now. But when you kind of take the temperature of this fan base, I think everybody wanted everything done in the first wave of free agency. They wanted to see you do all the things that they did, plus go get Javon Hargrave, plus go get Mike McGlinchey to play your right tackle spot, and do all of these things, spend all of the money right away. We know Ryan Poles well enough now to know that he's not somebody who does anything outside of a process-oriented, you know, execution. Mm-hmm. That is who he is. Think about his ties. He comes from Kansas City, where he was raised, in a way, in the Patriot system, because Scott Pioli came from there. That was the person who hired him to Kansas City. That's how Ryan Poles came up through the ranks. So anything Ryan Poles does is not going to be anything but process-oriented. Some people may not like the process right now, but it's playing out exactly how he expected it to, because there haven't been any sort of panic moves right now where you have a rot, where you're just trying to pull players in to fill holes on the roster. this is going to look in a way similar to how last year's free agency did after the first wave, where you're finding players who come here on a veteran minimum deal, who are here on short-term deals to prove it, that they can be part of what you're building going forward. Kind of like what we saw with Equanimeous St. Brown. I know that's a name people are like, why are you talking about him? He didn't do that much from a receiving standpoint, but think about all of the players they brought in last year in free agency, one-year deals, two-year deals max. There are only a couple that remain on this roster going forward, and they find those guys, say, all right, you proved yourself for 1 year. You can be part of what we're building, because what we're building is going to take time. And that's where the Bears are right now. They realize they have time not only to continue constructing this thing with the rank and file free agents, but time to continue building, because we have a month till the draft, and they've got a lot of good draft capital on day one and day two that they can now strategize how they want to use that.
So I've said this before. I was cross-talking with Carmen Yerk the last couple days when I was doing the afternoon show. Waddle and Sylvie were in the morning. I'm not underwhelmed what Poles has done, because I think I see what his plan is. I just think people are expecting, okay, we got ourselves DJ Moore. Here we go. We're going to win 10 games. I don't see that.
No. I mean, that's putting cart before the horse, thinking that one player's, like, think like, about like the...
Like Yerk said, where's the foundation? Offensive, defensive line aren't good enough.
No, and that should, it has to, be the priority in the draft.
Agreed.
I mean, when you think about the players that will be available to them, and that's why I made such a big deal of them not having a pick between, at the time, still, right now, who knows what they do, but like between 9 and 53, I think that's a big gap where you're going to miss a chunk of really good offensive linemen.
So if he could go back, would he give you back Claypool, or would he keep him?
If Clay, I mean, talk about somebody who has pressure to perform this year, to live up to, A, he wants a new contract eventually, and to prove the Bears right that they pulled off the trade that made sense in last November. I think it's honestly too early to tell, and I know some people are going to say that's a cop-out. We saw somebody who didn't look like they knew what they were doing for the 5, 6, 7 games he was here for. I say wait and see on that, because right now, of course, it looks like absolutely not. They would want that pick at 33, sitting there in the top of the second round and having, you know, a boatload of players available to them.
The world is your oyster.
Yeah. But I think it's still too early. I mean, on paper, and everything right now is on paper until, you know, September. On paper, it looks like a decent receiving core. DJ Moore is a one. He finally has quarterback consistency. Think about the numbers he put up in Carolina with 8 quarterbacks throwing him passes since 2018. It's pretty remarkable. So he gets here, and you can add in Chase Claypool. Darnell Mooney, assuming he comes back healthy, can transition into a role he's probably better suited for as a wide receiver 3. That's not a bad receiving core on paper. Again, like we said the same thing last year, and I think there was some more wishful thinking that, oh, Mooney just came off a 1,000-yard season. He's going to be able to replicate that in that offense.
And he didn't.
No, absolutely not. Okay. And so I like the look of it, but again, the jury's out until they actually do something.
Darnell Mooney wants new paper as well.
I don't think, I mean, if I'm prioritizing extensions, I don't think he gets it yet.
Agreed. He has what, this year?
It's 29. He was 2020, right? Fifth rounder in 2020.
I believe, yeah.
2020. Yeah, this is technically year 4 for him. This is a contract year.
Right. So he would be eligible for an extension right now.
He is.
Okay. Do you think there is any chance that, and I'm not advocating against or for, I'll tell you my opinion in a second. So he is... yeah, he's unrestricted after this season. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any chance Ryan Poles goes to the draft and says, this dude wants $15 million a year, which is what I'm hearing? I can't
that
pay him
Mooney that. Wants $15 million a
yes.
year.
Yes. Now, maybe that's not true, but he's not far off.
I mean, that's the going rate if you, but like.
Trade him. Get a draft pick.
Doing it in April.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is somebody, again, you have to follow through the You have to follow through the Ryan Poles' process and his strategy. This is someone who wants to build through the draft. That's the backbone of how they built teams in Kansas City when he was there. That's what he's shown us so far. He has a penchant for trading back, which I expect that to happen on day three, maybe twice. I mean, it happened twice last year in the draft, and they flipped, I think, two picks into getting five players. That's a pretty good haul right there. And think about how many of those day three guys ended up playing 16 or more games. They can scout, they can evaluate, but can you flip it the other way into trying to get up the draft board, which is harder to do than most people realize? Not, I think a lot of fans think, oh, you have like fourth and fifth round picks, take all of those and send it up for a two.
Not going to happen.
It's not how it happens. That's not reality. In theory, it's like, oh, you're giving more for one, you know, for one pick, and you should be able to pull something like that off. It's not reality. That's where we can judge just how good he is at doing that and moving up and down, because we've already seen him move back. That's a lot easier than trying to move up to maybe get a wide receiver that could be sitting there in that gap between 9 and 53.
Right. Who's on a rookie deal.
Mm-hmm.
Does he say, okay, I want a whatever it is, third, fourth round pick for Darnell Mooney, because I don't want to pay that dude $12 to $18 million, somewhere in that range.
I'm just like, who's trading a third round pick for Darnell Mooney coming off of ankle surgery?
Probably no one. So that's why I said maybe a fourth.
Who's trading a fourth? I mean, he's a young receiver who hasn't hit his prime yet, has 1 year left on this deal, wants the extension. I get that. But he's had one good season.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, his rookie season and then an injury season last year. Are we so sure that he's going to come back and be the same player? That would be my pause if I'm another team listening to a trade offer from Ryan Poles.
That's a great point. 312-332-3776. Derek is in Brooklyn. It is a magnificent day here. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Derek, welcome in, Sparkles.
Happy, my brother, what's up? Courtney, how you doing, sweetie?
I'm good, Derek. How are you?
I'm great. Cap, man, listen, I like the way Poles is building the team, but I think he's getting a lot of unfair criticism because of the fact that he hasn't addressed the lines and free agency, offensive and defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, other teams put franchise tags on certain players that he might have been interested in. If there's nobody there that he thinks, you know, is worth overpaying, then don't overpay. And if you want to address it in the draft, you address it in the draft. And I'm optimistic, but I'm not overly optimistic. I'm on your side as far as the record, maybe 7-8 games, you know, for this year coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Chase Claypool trade is going to burn us, man, because we had a good pick in the second round and we gave it up for him, and we could have got a really good player at that pick. That's all I want to say. I'm going to hang up. Listen, you guys have a great weekend. Go Bears. Oh, Dave, man, I need a favor, bro.
Yo.
This guy, man, you know, I'm always waiting for your show to come on, man. This guy out here, ESPN New York, Dave Roxbury, disrespected the Bears this morning, man. They were talking about the Hard Knocks thing, and I guess his producer was giving him the names of the teams that could go on it, and he brought the Bears. Oh, he said, nobody cares about the Bears. You speak to that guy, man. You let him know, man. Bears is
I'll set
everywhere.
Him straight. I'll talk to Danny Zetterman. He's management here. He'll take care of it.
All right. Take care. Have a great week.
You're the best. We'll see you, all Derek. Right. All right. There you go. 312-332-3776. So the question is, are you pleased with what Ryan Poles and the Bears have done so far in free agency? 312-332-3776. It is a magnificent day at this radio station that I have been blessed to be at almost 8 years. Courtney and I are teammates, but this station today turns 25 years old, and it's never sounded better, been better. We're going to have a phenomenal day at the House of Blues. There'll be a Mac Yurko and Harry reunion. There'll be Jay Cutler there. There'll be Carmen Yurko, Waddle and Sylvie, and Black and Abdallah. Everybody's going to be out there. So if you're coming, I look forward to seeing you. If you're not, I hope you'll tune in. It is a wonderful celebration of the best sports radio station in the world. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Rolling on ESPN 1000. It's Cap J-Hood Morning Show. Hoodie's on vacay. He will be at the 25th anniversary celebration in House of Blues later today. Courtney Cronin is in his seat. We got Jake. We got Jay Moore. I'm David Kaplan. 312-332-3776. I also want you to ponder this. We're asking you, are you pleased with what Ryan Poles and the Bears have done so far in free agency? Some yes. Some people are like, nah, left me a little underwhelmed. Robert Griffin III and his crew on TV have been talking about this all week. Who are the top five quarterbacks today in the NFC? And they are including Aaron Rodgers as a Jet, so he's not on the list. So Courtney and I are going to go through who those top ones are. Is Justin in the top five? Most of the analysts do not have him there yet. Let's go to the phones. Justin's down in Dallas. Hey, Justin, what's up, man? Justin? Where's our guy? All right, he's gone. We lost our guy, Justin. Let's go to our guy, Joey G. Joey, good morning. What's up?
Good morning. How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing good. Listen, Courtney, first of all, on Around the Horn, we need just a little bit more smile.
That's what my dad always says. I don't know. I can't fake it because, you know, your muscles start to get sore when you're, like, cheesing the whole time. Like, if you can come up with a way for me to, like, not look like I'm about to murder somebody when I'm just, like, sitting there listening, I'd be very grateful for that because I definitely have that RBF. We'll just leave it at that.
All right, well, I have a solution, but anyways. Cap, I've been talking to you for a year and a half. Okay, I'm happy with Poles is doing.
You're unhappy with what he's doing.
I'm sorry?
You do say you're unhappy or happy?
I'm happy.
Okay.
He's playing chess.
Yep.
He's a smart guy. Okay, these one-year contracts are going to prove to him, okay, he's a keeper or he's not. But the question is, if we get a wide receiver in the draft, Claypool tough enough to do the cross pattern and get whacked in the middle of the field?
Well,
the other question I have is Eberflus and the defensive coordinator here, Alan Williams. I have no faith.
Well, okay. And, Joey, we love you dearly. Have a great day.
I love you, too, Cap. You know that.
We'll see you. First of all, Chase Claypool, I will never question anyone's toughness that plays in the National Football League. I think he's tough enough to go over the middle. I think Darnell Mooney's a slot guy that they'll put in that role as well. They are vastly improved because of DJ Moore. He doesn't have confidence in the coaching staff. They had a horrible roster last year. Vince Lombardi wouldn't have won with that team.
Correct. But the caveat of that is the scheme itself. And we had, you know, I'd asked Alan about this a number of times in season last year. This is a defense that, you know, you can trace the roots of this scheme back to Dallas and then going to Indianapolis and now in Chicago. This is a defense that wants to get pressure with four. It wants its standard pass rush, and it doesn't. They don't blitz a lot. I mean, they had to blitz last year, as evidenced by Jaquan Brisker leading this team in sacks as a rookie and as a defensive back. They don't. That's not like their MO. So schematically, that's going to be something you really want to pay attention to this offseason. What are they doing to fix their pass rush from a scheme standpoint, not just a personnel? I mean, certainly if you have an antiquated scheme and you have personnel that is below where it needs to be to function at a high level in the NFL, it's a recipe for disaster. But when you're lining up a defensive end over the outside shoulder of the left tackle every single snap and the rush looks the same, someone like you or I watching that on an All-22 as you know, media members and people who consume this as fans, if we can pick that up, the opposing team can pick that up pretty quickly. So I think that there needs to be some adjustments there. And you know, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You're right. They had a very talent deficient team last year.
Still and doing so, that yes, side of the ball.
And when you are dealing with that, you have to do like kind of, I don't want to say dumb things down, but you've got to play to the strengths of your personnel. And your personnel can't perform at a certain level, you're not going to put them in that situation. You're going to say, hey, do the best you can within the confines of what we're asking you to do. So there's a reason for that, but I don't just blame it solely on Al-Kadeem Muhammad didn't perform, Travis Gibson didn't perform, Dominique Robinson's a fifth-round rookie at that time. I don't blame it solely on that. I think there is a lot on coaching and schematically differences that they can make to, you know, change their rush plan going forward.
All right, 312-332-3776. Justin's back. Hey, Justin, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey, good morning, Cap. Good morning, Courtney. I was calling. This isn't a comment about the Bears. I just wanted to call and congratulate you, Cap, and everybody at ESPN 1000 for 25 years. I would give anything to be there. Cap, one of my greatest moments was meeting you and Hoodie in person. You don't know how much that meant to me just listening to you since Cap and Company, listening to Hoodie. Overnight, and that was just a great moment for me. I love everybody at the station between you and Hoodie, Carmen Yerk, and Waddle and Sylvie. I just wish you all 25 more years, and you know everything that you all do is perfect, especially you, Cap, when you were doing the walk for Bernie's Book Bank. I feel like that tends to go unnoticed because you're very dedicated, and I just appreciate everything about you all. Thanks a lot.
Justin, you're the greatest, man. Really appreciate those awesome, awesome comments. You're very, very kind, and it was an honor to meet you, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I love you, Cap.
We love you. Have a great day, okay? Good weekend.
All right, bye.
What a nice call.
What a great call that was. He's the nicest guy in the world. Chicago guy who moved to Dallas.
That's so. One thing I've realized coming back home and doing local radio here. The callers that call in, like, you have your guys. I mean, Joey G from Melrose Park is a staple on this
show.
My
guy.
I feel like we've had calls from Justin when I've been hosting this show with mm-hmm. you and or with Jonathan. And so, I mean, I love that because local radio is so driven by calls and those and the listeners are the ones who help make the show what it is.
Correct.
That's something that I don't necessarily have that when I'm hosting network. I'm remote, my co-host is remote, and we are picked up by affiliates all across the country, which Correct. Is awesome, but you don't have that local
flavor. The intimacy
flavor.
Of the local
and
flavor.
And it's so fun because like, people like understand your story, they know you on a... people feel like they know the host because, you know, if you do radio right, you do it the way that you and Jonathan do it, where you have fun. It's a show about not just sports, but everything else in between.
Just life.
I love that. Like, yeah. That's one thing I think for me, you know, listening to the show, the station, my entire childhood and life. I mean, 25 years for ESPN Chicago is incredible, and I'm grateful to be a part of it.
Yeah, you're an awesome teammate, and we have so much fun when you're in here. And just to hear a call like that means everything.
It's
got to
make your day.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Does. 312-332-3776. I have another question for you. So Robert Griffin III and a lot of the crew on GetUp, who are the top five quarterbacks in the NFC? RG3 tweeted, it's Jalen Hurts, number one, Kirk Cousins, number two, Dak Prescott, number three, Kyler Murray, although he's injured, number four, Geno Smith, number five, and he says he has Aaron Rodgers as a member of the Jets, so he's not eligible for the list. So there's no Justin Fields. There's no Matthew Stafford.
No Derek Carr.
No Derek Carr.
So, South member.
So where does Justin rank? And who are your top five?
I mean, I think you have to... The NFC is so top-heavy. But the AFC is where it's at in terms of the next 10 years. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
And I hope the NFC can somehow keep up. Maybe these quarterbacks over the next couple drafts will find their way to NFC teams and, you know, pan out so there can be a little bit of a balance of power. But right now, it's all in the favor of the AFC. My top five would be Jalen Hurts, Dak. I've been waffling between where I'm putting Kirk. I'll put Kirk at three, which, I mean, he had a great season last year, especially for where he is in his career, and we keep asking, is this offensive coordinator, his sixth or his seventh that he's on, is that going to be the person who unlocks the next gear of Kirk Cousins? I don't know if there really is another gear to unlock. I just think that if you put him in the right system that's predicated off play action and making, you know, pulling his strengths together, heavy run emphasis, play action pass, great receivers, he can perform at the best level of Kirk Cousins. So I'll put him three. I would go ahead and say I would put Matthew Stafford at four. And I know that he's coming off the injury. I hope he comes back. I hope the elbow, I hope the concussion, I hope none of it matters, because that one season we saw of him at his best in Los Angeles after all those years where he was so good in Detroit, but everything else around him was terrible. That's the version I hope we get in 2023, even though that's a team that's headed into a retooling before they can go spend out the wazoo in 24. And so he's four. As much as I like Geno Smith, as much as I believe that he was, you know, more than deserving of comeback player of the year, I think he's still probably like six or seven for me. At five, I will go Kyler Murray. When healthy, Kyler Murray. He's electric. He's as someone, I had dinner with a defensive line coach in Indianapolis at the combine, and we were just kind of running through some of the quarterbacks and all of that. And we were talking about Kyler and like the size comparison with the Bryce Young thing about, you know, durability. He's 5'11. Can he see over his offensive line? I'm like, do you see any similarities with Kyler? He's like, with the durability stuff, yes, but Kyler was a blank to cover. Like, he is so difficult. And I remember I covered a game in Arizona when I was covering the Vikings in 2021. And watching him, just like when plays break down and he's running miles left to right in the pocket, out of the outside of the pocket, and making extending plays and just buying time, nobody can do it better than him. In the NFC, nobody. It may be Jalen Hurts, maybe. But Kyler Murray is on another level compared to everyone else in his conference.
Okay, so that's the question. 312-332-3776. We're talking about, where would you rank Justin Fields among the NFC quarterbacks? I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have 8 names, and he's not on the list. Does he belong ahead of any of them? We'll be right back.
Here's today's headlines with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Blackhawks fell to the Capitals 6-1 last night in D.C. They've lost 3 in a row and are 24-41-6 on the season and have been officially eliminated from the playoff chase. No shock there. Bulls begin their West Coast road trip tonight against the Trailblazers. 9 p.m. is the tip-off. Sweet 16 began last night. Number 3 Kansas State beat number 7 Michigan State in an OT thriller, 98-93. Number 4 UConn over number 8 Arkansas, 88-65 in an absolute smashing. Florida Atlantic upset Tennessee, 62-55 with a strong second half. And number 3 Gonzaga, a thriller, 79-76 over number 2 UCLA. And the NFL has sent out a memo prohibiting teams talking to Lamar Jackson's representative because he is not a licensed agent.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap J Hoodie, ESPN 1000. Courtney Cronin is in for Hoodie, who's on vacation. Enjoy your time, my guy. So where would you rank Justin Fields among the NFC quarterbacks? Because I keep hearing Ryan Poles has the draft capital next year that if he has to go get a quarterback, he'll have the ability to go do that. But if Justin plays well, maybe Marvin Harrison Jr., the guy that I have openly lusted for the Bears to get for like 2 years. This guy's a beast. Did you see the tweet from ESPN yesterday?
No, which one was it?
It was from their pro day. It said, all these personnel and GMs at the league just drooling over Marvin Harrison. He ran patterns at the pro day for CJ Stroud. Said it was like going to the Lamborghini dealer window shopping at next year's models that aren't out yet.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he's not even draft eligible this year, I mean, go back to look at what C.J. Stroud did without Jackson Smith and Jigba. I mean, Marvin Harrison Jr. comes, you know, rising through the ranks out of nowhere. And they had one other guy whose name always escapes me, but they had another 1,000-yard receiver. That program, is there another program in the NFL right now, or in college football right now? Maybe LSU, but they're kind of past their prime in terms of churning out receivers.
Not like this.
Not like Ohio State. I mean,
Crystal
LSU had
Olave,
their boom.
Garrett Wilson, yeah. And Jackson, and Jameson Williams transferred out of there.
Yeah, he went to Alabama. But, I mean, LSU for sure deserves its credit for Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, but they haven't produced a top-end wide receiver since 2021, which I know is, you know, not that long ago. But Ohio State, year after year after year, and even without his core, C.J. Stroud, you know, the year before, even without Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, and Jackson Smith and Jigba this year, because you know, two of them are in the NFL, one was injured most of the year, he still threw for 4 touchdowns in the semifinal game against Georgia, nearly won that thing.
Should have won that
thing. It's wild.
Should have won that thing. He got beat by Cody Parkey, missing a field goal. So, top quarterbacks. I was asking you this as we were going to break. Okay, this is just in the NFC, and there's no Aaron Rodgers, because we're calling him a Jet. Jalen Hurts. Is Justin ahead of him?
No, not right now.
Kirk Cousins?
No, not right now.
Dak?
No, not right now. And I'm gonna keep, until we get to the Baker Mayfields, Jared Goff, Sam Howells, you have to look at, like, when people are putting their list together of these top quarterbacks, what are we are we looking at it in totality? The explosive plays, of course. I mean, Justin is a true.
So we're looking at body of work.
Body of work. He has, like, his EPA per play has been, in passing EPA per play has been negative the last two seasons. No one's going to rank you in the top 5, maybe even in the top 8. Okay. He's a top 10 quarterback in the NFC, without question. But we're basing a lot of this on potential of, hey, he had the worst receiving core in the NFL last year. DJ Moore brings that thing up to above average. Let's see what he can do with that.
All right, so Hurts, Cousins, Dak, Stafford.
No.
Jared Goff.
Yes.
Absolutely not.
You don't think so?
No.
Jared Goff is a good system quarterback.
Hold on. Jared Goff's numbers last year were outstanding.
In the right system. Look at what happens when he gets to Detroit.
Then run that system.
I don't know if the Bears are equipped to do that.
And he took another team to a Super Bowl.
He did.
Yeah. So Justin's numbers, not even close to Jared Goff.
I think I'm basing mine. I mean, if you want to base it on like pass production, it's not even, it's a giant eye. It's an incomplete grade for Fields because the passing numbers aren't there. They have the worst passing offense in the NFL. But
agreed.
We know that he has the capability of
doing it. Doesn't matter.
I think most people.
Today.
Then if you vote today, Cap, we can just end this conversation right now and put him towards the bottom of the list because the passing numbers aren't there. But we know he's a better quarterback than
Kyler Murray?
No.
Daniel Jones?
No.
Derek Carr?
No.
Okay, so
Derek Carr,
one,
like,
two,
led the
three,
NFL
four,
in
five,
fourth quarter
six,
comebacks.
Seven.
Justin Fields,
so
I think,
right now we have
one.
Justin at 9.
I'm comfortable putting him in the top 10 because some of the other, like, let's say, like, replacement-level quarterbacks, whether it's Sam Howell, Desmond Ridder is an NFC quarterback. He's probably starting for the Falcons this year if they don't take one at 8, and they might not have a chance to take one at 8. Jordan Love, Andy Dalton, looking at this list right now. There's 17 quarterbacks in the 16 quarterbacks in the NFC. By most people's standards, if you're basing it off of production and production only, not what we've seen, not passes that should have been completed, but your wide receiver dropped it, or your offensive line didn't block properly, or you waited too long in the pocket. Most people are going to have him, by that standard alone, 15 through, you know, 14 maybe through, how many quarterbacks did I say there were in the NFC? Like 16?
Mm-hmm.
13 through 16. That's a safe bet if you're basing it on production alone. I'm basing it on how we do these lists every offseason. It is taking some stuff that you see in the past. And the past can also include what we saw from him in college, where he was predominantly a pocket passer. We know he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he has the capability, and he showed in flashes, in moments, how good he can be in those situations. I just have a hard time, if I'm going head-to-head right now, Jared Goff versus Justin Fields, not looking at Fields. And I know, we can go back to that Detroit game where they got their ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
That's not entirely indicative of the quarterback and the quarterback alone. But he, for me, he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFC.
Yeah, top 10, I agree.
But I don't put him, I don't have him anywhere in my, like, close to my top five.
Do you know what Jared Goff's numbers were this year?
I do. I mean, he had a great season.
4,438 yards passing.
That's the reason Detroit's not looking at a quarterback this year in the draft.
TD to interception and a passer rating almost 100, 99.3. Yeah. He's also got a 4,600 yard season in 19, a 4,600 yard season in 18, a 3,800 yard season in 2017.
Like, he also had really good teams around him.
He did.
And teams that are much better than what the 2022 iteration of the Bears were, where Justin Fields was told, hey, play the game with one hand tied behind your back, get your shoulder blades clapped together all the time, and then tell us how you feel and to see if you're still standing at the end of it.
Agreed.
Jared Goff, this is what I always try to tell people. Take other quarterbacks and put them in the situation that Justin Fields was in last year and see if they can rise above any level that he was able to amount to last year. I doubt it. I doubt that Jared Goff in this offense last year would have looked anything like what Justin Fields was able to muster up through 16, or how many games did he play? 15 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody would be able to touch what he did. Outside of the Patrick Mahomeses maybe of the world, but even he would struggle without a great receiving. You need good people to throw the ball to.
You do.
You need an offensive line to block for you.
100%. 312-332-3776. We're talking quarterback rankings in the NFC, and we'll get into some Sweet 16 talk. Great games last night. Another slate of games on tap tonight on our 25th anniversary here at ESPN 1000, 312-332-3776. Shot or no shots coming up at 8. Be right back.
Captain Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Today is National Cocktail Day, I just realized.
Wow.
We get a newsletter every week from our boss, Keith Williams, and called Keith's Corner. Anyway, hello, happy National Cocktail Day. It's good. We have a party to go to. 25th anniversary.
Coming off National Puppy Day, which was yesterday.
It was National
Puppy
Day.
Did you celebrate with your dogs?
I have one of my dogs at the house. My wife is out of town with the other two. And so I have Yoshi, and that was a late night.
That's how he celebrated National Puppy Day with
By
you.
Getting sick.
Oh, poor guy.
So I bought chicken breast, and I fed it to him. And next
Cooked?
Thing,
Cooked?
Yeah, like deli meat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, what is that? And I hear this. He is puking his guts out. Oh, in my bed, of course.
In the bed?
All three sleep in our bed.
So, like, you get up and I assume just have to, like, just throw everything into the wash with
Correct.
Hot water and bleach immediately.
Correct.
So, then did you get back to bed?
No.
Doesn't sound like it.
Took him out. Had to clean up. It was just a mess.
The couch night? Slept on the couch?
I was up already. And then I had to give... He was, like, it was on him. So, I had to give him a bath.
Oh, my God.
2:30 in the morning, I'm giving the dog a bath.
It's a child.
Yeah.
This is an infant. This brings you back to many years ago.
He's almost 16. He'll be 16 in the fall.
Okay, so no longer a puppy, but still your puppy.
My guy.
Okay.
And so I've got him in the tub, and I'm using body wash. I didn't have any dog soap. And I'm using body wash to scrub this dog. He's not happy. He's soaking wet, shakes. The water's all over the place. Now I'm cleaning the floor. Yeah, this is all 2:30 this morning. And then I had to get my wife's hair dryer out because I don't have any hair. I don't have a hair dryer. And I'm blow drying him. And he finally had had enough. And he kind of saunters off his way, pick him up, put him back on the bed with no bedding.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, you're not putting a whole thing of sheets and
no,
doing the thing up.
Absolutely not.
Not at 2 in the morning.
I'll do that tonight.
That would have been a couch night for me. I would have just like gone down there and said, you know, to hell with it. We're going to deal with this is tomorrow Dave's problem.
So the last 2 days, I didn't have to do my normal shift because Danny asked me, would I switch with Waddle and Sylvie because Tommy had something. So the two of them were going to come in and do the mornings. Yeah, sure, no problem. So the other night, I decide I normally go to bed, unless there's a game I have to see, I go to bed early. I got to get up early.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's on TV? Oh, Rocky's on. Got to watch that again. So I'm watching Rocky. Now Rocky 2 rolls in. Rocky 2's even better.
Okay.
And I'm watching Rocky 2. Now I fall asleep on the love seat with my legs draped over one of the legs. I wake up. I'm like, God, am I stiff. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. 4 o'clock in the morning. Just, yeah, last couple nights have not been great sleep. So, tonight.
Tonight. Tonight's the night.
Tonight's the
After night. You do the 25th anniversary at House of Blues,
yep.
Go home, bed by 8 o'clock.
Or be watching basketball.
Yeah. I mean, good Sweet 16 games on tonight. I don't know how it's going to top last night. If it does, then I'll just be speechless at this point tomorrow.
Be amazing. By the way, Lane Johnson, the Eagles, just announced he's agreed to a one-year, $33.445 million extension. $30 million guaranteed per Shefty. So they keep that awesome offensive line fairly intact.
You got to pay your tackles.
Got
There's like five of them that are really good in the NFL right now.
And
you pay them what they're worth.
Correct. Let's go to David in Downers Grove. Hey, David, what's up, Sparky?
What's up, my man?
How are you?
Congratulations on cleaning the dog. I'm sure he smells like Old Spice today, so that's a good thing.
Yes, 100%.
I had a recent, last week, my dog, I woke up to dog poop everywhere. It was like a minefield, the worst feeling in the world.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, so anyways, talking sports. What I wanted to say is, I got Courtney. I love you, by the way. I think you're amazing. Thank you for being a Chicagoan and being doing so. I mean, you are just so good at your job. I love it.
Thank you, David.
I love listening. You're very welcome. But I got to disagree with you here, man. I cannot put Fields in front of a Goff or a Carr. I know Carr kind of was a train wreck at times, but just the passing from a passing standpoint. And after all, quarterback position is passing. He's not a running back.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the athleticism with Fields. He is much more athletic than a Carr or Goff. There's not even a question. Like, those two aren't even really athletes to me, especially Goff. He's kind of a goofy dude, you know? But I cannot understand how we can put a Justin Fields who, and that's not a knock on him. He didn't have the weapons.
He
didn't have the line.
No, you're right.
I just think it's a very difficult thing to, you know, to put him in front of those two guys who have had a proven success
sure.
in the NFL.
Sure.
You know?
No, and I understand that, David. I mean, it's if you're basing it on production and production alone, you're putting Justin Fields anywhere from like 13, like based on NFC quarterbacks right now, which can also bring in new NFC quarterbacks like Baker Mayfield. You know, well, he's an AFC quarterback and then NFC. So, yeah, he's been in the NFC, but he's moving around. Sam Howell, Desmond Ridder, all of those guys would probably be within the mix. Andy Dalton, and I would end up actually putting Baker
not really, though. I don't consider them in the mix.
I mean, they are NFC quarterbacks. They are potentially starting for their teams this year. Andy Dalton very well may be the starting quarterback for a while until the rookie, whoever they draft in Carolina, C.J. Stroud, until they feel he's ready to go. I don't think they're going to thrust somebody into a situation they're not ready, but I digress. Like, those are who we're basing it on. And you're right. I mean, that's the problem with these rankings, that it's hard to figure out where to put Fields because he's such an incomplete product. And really, by some fault of his own, I still think that he has a flaw of holding onto the ball too long in the pocket. But the numbers are there. Like, I keep going back to, he's an awesome running quarterback right now. He doesn't want to be that. He doesn't want to be somebody breaking rushing records. When you have a negative passing EPA per play in two seasons, that's what we're judging you on. You can understand why people would put him further down the list. I just think of Jared Goff. And I mean, I'm not trying to knock what he's done. He has been terrific in this resurrection of his career in Detroit. And I think that I'm picking Detroit to win the NFC North.
I am
too.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the system that you have your quarterback in and setting him up for success. But if you try to like look at this thing in totality, if you put a Jared Goff in what the Bears had last year, what do you have? So, I mean, I don't think of Fields right now as a top five quarterback in the NFC North, in the NFC. And I don't think that he is probably anywhere like top eight. I still am comfortable putting him as a top 10 quarterback. In really, you're probably moving guys around from like 6 through 10 anyways, where the list is certainly subjective in totality, but more at that point. And I think that I would be comfortable putting him maybe at like 9 or 10 right now based on how top-heavy this conference is and where the talent gap. I mean, he can make up for things in ways that other quarterbacks can't. Like, if you put any of those other guys, the Ritters, the Howells, Baker Mayfield, in the same situations with Justin Fields and ask, say, hey, go make a play. Everything's falling apart around you. I think Fields is going to be the one that comes out victorious in that, even from a passing perspective, because we've seen when plays break down, he knows where to go with the ball. He knows how to keep a play alive. It's everything else around him that in moments failed him. But it's a topic that's going to be debated because, you know, especially this year, if the Bears did enough and do enough, the totality of the offseason, he should be in the conversation without a question. Hey, he's one of the top quarterbacks in the NFC a year from now.
Agreed. 312-332-3776. It's a glorious 25th anniversary of our radio station. Big party today at the House of Blues. Everything gets going there at noon. Hope to meet a lot of you. If you're out there, Courtney will be there as well. We have Shot or No Shot in exactly 2 minutes.